Blog Talk Radio.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That's a song written, it's actually considered a ballad, written by Harold Arion and with lyrics by Yip Harburg. It was written for the 1939 film The Wizard of Oz, in which it was sung by actress Julie Garland in her starring role as Dorothy Gale. It won the Academy Award for Best Original Song and became Garland's signature song. And it's been remade by several people in several different musical styles. And about 5 minutes into the film, she sings the song after failing to get Auntie M and Uncle Henry and the farmlands to listen to her story of unpleasant incident involving her dog Toto and the town spinster Miss Gulch. Aunt M tells her to find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble. This prompts her to walk off by herself, musing to Toto, someplace where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat, a train. It's far, far away, behind the moon, behind the rain, at which point she begins singing the song. And the reason I played that song for our open tonight is because, and I'll have to wonder if he remembers why I know this, but it's one of Titus's favorite songs. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a poetry group, radio group, that's sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. And you can hear us nightly with different hosts and different topics. And if you are a member of allpoetry.com or decide to join, which it's free to do, you can find us listed under the group tab and knock on a door and I'll meet you there. And you can follow along with the poems that are on the shows each night, because we share the link to those poems on the chat wall so that you can follow along and comment. You could also call in to participate by dialing 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And tonight, as I stated at the beginning, we will be featuring poem lines by the poet Titus Llewellyn, along with art by an artist named Stephanie Pumon Law. And there were 10 choices of quotes to choose from, which were pieces of Titus's poems. And then there was, as I try to do all the time, to get a big variety, there were 45 choices in art to choose from. So I would also like to say hey to Hatter, my big brother, my co-host, who is here with me. Hey, Hatter.
Put him up.
And right behind him is Raconteur. Hey, Rac. Glad you're here.
Had a brain.
And then, right behind Raconteur is our dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life and The Man Cave, Kay and Steven. Hey, you two. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Very glad you're here, as we like to affectionately call the dynamic duo there. Beautiful song. Some beautiful quote choices and some amazing art. So I say maybe we should get this show on the road, because I happen to know, since I was just at their show reading for them, that Kay and Steven have been on the radio for a couple of hours doing their show. So I am going to grab the link by Miss Kay and put it on the board so that she can kick off this show for us. And Kay, when you see it on the board, please get this show on the road. And thank you very much.
Are you on Brick Road?
Okay. I call this Epiphany Fades into the Star's Light. Prepare on the stairs and chalky ores of translucence, an orchard of history and watercolor splotches, ink of time, golden dust of ruddy tourists. Exploration and contact, as I isn't beach glass keen, shuddering in different shadows, faint in touch as a light dismissed, electristic midnight, windows a complexity of summoning, misty gray, sterile as a coal, depths untouchable, ladder ends of patience, suits concerns, fencing the route veneer, shrubbery brushed in paper scent of leaves, commiserate, and poem.
Beautiful read, and my fault, I forgot to ask you to read the quote that you chose, and I see that it's, misty rain has washed a charcoal sky, and that, of course, is by Titus. Now back to the poem. Okay, I really like how you put so many visuals through here, and an orchard of history and watercolor splotches, even just that line pretty much describes that picture, because you can see so many things in there, and you don't expect that watercolor art could be so elaborate, but this woman really is a genius with watercolors, and as are you with your metaphors, shuddering in different shadows, faint in touch as lights dismiss. The shuddering in different shadows is a brilliant metaphor, because shadows, sometimes you want them to, like, hide away, and sometimes they can be one of the most scary things out there. So there's something in that shuddering indifferent that I really like. Summoning misty gray, sterile is the cold depths. And back to the thought of the loneliness inside that shadow, inside the gray mist, and fencing the route veneered. I love that. But then, you know, you are our queen of metaphors. Brushed in paper thin of leaves, commiserates the sheltering. And I just think that all the way around, you totally captured not just the art, but the quote that you chose. And it's not a whole lot of words, so what an incredible brevity. I think that you did an excellent job. And as usual, an amazing way to start off the show. Oh, and I love the title, too, Epiphany Fades Into the Star's Light. And you could look at that as epiphany by meaning, or you could imagine, as I did, that the cat's name is Epiphany. Either way, brilliant title. Thank you so much. And let me see. Hatter, will you please comment for Kay?
Yeah, you're right. The shuddering in different shadows. See what a great line that is. What was the other? Misty gray sterile is the cold depth untouchable. This is well done to the prompt and the quote. That was taken out of one of Titus's pieces, right?
Well, yeah, I was building around the quote.
Cool. Yeah, very well done, Kay. I think the Andorians are enjoying their brevity.
Thank you.
Great comment. And Raconteur, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this, Kay. I think, you know, not being able to see the picture or anything, you probably wrote to the picture, and I think you captured elements of Titus in this. You know, there's things about him that, you know, he's a digital entity to me. You know, obviously I've never met him or whatever, but, you know, we form pictures of people, you know, I guess, based on some of the things we learn about them from their work and the word choices and things. And you get it like a mental picture, and there's certain elements of what you wrote, you know, that just make me think of him to begin with. You know, I want to say, AP had this on his Tic Mac banjo, you know, to guess who wrote it, it's got, you know, a Titus feel to it. So I thought you did a fantastic job with that, and the imagery to begin with. And I loved the beach glass too, and in the beginning, like it was, I think it was the second line where you mentioned the history that was also gorgeous. I mean, the whole thing was lovely. But, you know, again, you did definitely captured elements of Titus in it as well.
Thank you.
Great comment. And on a side note, I realized that it's a front page pick as well. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Stephen, while I grab your link, will you comment for your wife, please?
Oh, yeah. I like this a lot, hon. I think it's a beautiful piece. I definitely see bits of the past in here. And I did tell you at one point one of the lines did remind me of one of our cats from a long time ago too. So I kind of like that. It made me smile. But yeah, it is a beautiful brevity, and I used to call you the queen of brevity, and it still stands.
Thank you.
You're here. I totally agree. Great comments, everyone, and thank you very much, Kay. Again, a great way to kick off the show. Now, Stephen, if you see yours, can you take us? Oh, I think I put K's again. I did. It was good, but I really do want to hear your poem, so let me go back and get the right. You know what happened? I don't even look. I was so used to you being the second one on the list that I went there, but I have a poem on the board, so you were the third on the list. So let me grab it. And now let's try to do the right poem this time. There it is. Okay, when you see it, please.
All right. The quote I chose was, coat ourselves with an illusion that astonishes a bomb that would self-ignite on impact, from Titus. And I call this, what's good for the goose? Sweet cherry red faux libretto coated by dark chocolate candied shell. Dancing treacly on tottering tongue does charge the larynx acid hell. Gag retort spews across flub floors, and the surging stomach cramps meander. Cuspid crease lies have slain the ivory goose and glaived the gallant gander. End poem.
Well, you know what? I do believe that Hatter just made a comment about the dynamic duo and their brevities, and then here comes Mr. Dynamic Duo with another one of his spectacular four-line tens. Just wow. Where do I even go? Well, for one thing, I really like that the question, that the title is a question, and I like what's good for the goose. I think, uh-oh. But then we get to Sweet Cherry Red Flux Libretto coated in dark chocolate candied shell. Dancing. I'm thinking I wasn't expecting any dark chocolate candied shell from the art there. You know, and then I liked how you put took it with the coat ourselves in an illusion of an astonishment that astonishes a bomb that would self-ignite on impact. Now, if dark chocolate candy shell is not a bomb, B-A-L-M, not B-O-M-B, for those who can't see it, then I don't know what is, because I could use some dark chocolate candy, especially chocolate-covered cherry. So, like, yeah, for some reason, that's where my mind went. Now my mouth's watering for a chocolate-covered cherry. Thanks, Stephen. But I also like that in the second line there, the Larnix Acid's hell gag retort. The gag retort, like, whoa. Also, another, like, a negative thought, that gag reflex that it spews across the flubbed floors. So, like, the images there are wicked, just as wicked as those stomach cramps. But on the closing line, the ivy goose and galvanized the gallant gander. That's not what that says, is it? Glavized. Glavized. I don't think I know that word, Stephen. So I'm going to have to look it up, and you just taught me a new word.
Stick them with a sword. Kill them.
Okay. So now, So we've come full circle from candy coating it in the first line to actually just coming right out and saying that it's dead, it's been killed. And I mean, totally off subject for a second, but did it really take three to kill one beautiful critter? I mean, so it was like overkill. So, like, I don't know, but the lies that have slain the ivory goose, sometimes people don't realize how much damage a lie can do. And I think that you pulling that into that line and then seeing this overkill on this beautiful bird really drives it home. You know, lice can kill and definitely pincushion for this beautiful bird can kill. But I think that you, between the art and the quote that you chose and the brilliant metaphors that you put into four lines, I'll say again, really came together perfectly. And it bears repeating. Fantastic title, Good for the Goose. Apparently not hanging out with these people with swords, that's for sure. Really clever. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. And let me go to Rex. Oh, wait, let me let Sweet in first. Hello, my Sweet. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Very happy you're here. And I'm just about to get a comment from Rack and Tor.
For Stephen's four lines. I like this. You know, that expression is intriguing. It has always interested me too, because there's a variation of it. What's sauce for the goose, it's less for the gander. You know, it's same intent, but you know, different phrasing. And when you mentioned the candy shell, it kind of made me think of that a little bit too. But overall, you know, the idea of, you know, what's good for one is good for the other. And, you know, you've got the lies in there and the idea behind the expression too. I thought you did a really good job, you know, taking the quote in another direction.
Thanks, Mark.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, this reminded me of the kids that raise animals for fairs and such. It's a great idea, but the year that they spend in raising the animal before the fair, they become pets. And they cry and cry, and parents end up having to buy the animal at the auction from the butcher. It happens more times than not, but that's what it reminded me of. It was good. What was the one line? The line you gag retort spews across flood floors, and surging stomach cramps meander. I got this impression that it's once they learn that people tend to not remember where their food comes from. A lot of vegetarians started out by actually realizing what happens in a slaughterhouse.
Well, I get that, Hatter, but do you really think that anybody ever needed to use three swords to get dinner that night?
I know, I know.
For that, you know, that critter?
A goose could mess you up, man.
Right? And my sweet, what did you think? Great comment, Hatter.
I was going to say, have you ever met a Canadian goose? Those things attack. You might need four swords. But no, I really like this. I think it's eloquently put on how to kill a goose for Christmas. I love the language. I really do. It's very well done for your beautiful four lines. I like dancing quickly on tottering tongue. The alliteration is quite epic and throughout this. So you did a really great job. I'm digging the four lines. It's going to have to be pretty much like an AP challenge for me because I really don't think I can do it. So now that I keep seeing you doing it, I'm going to have to take on my own little challenge to see if I can do it, Steven. I doubt it, but I'm going to have to take your challenge on it.
Oh, it took me, I hear you, sweet. It took me a long time. I got one, and I haven't tried it again since because it's hard, and it keeps out. It's really hard. Anyway. Kay, will you comment for your hubby, please?
Well, you know, I was just thinking of everybody's comments, and I love chocolate, but, you know, this last week, every time I walk into my kitchen, I keep thinking to myself, I really need to get some gummy worms. I like how you speak about that, but, yeah, right now, for me, my state of mind is gummy worms. But, no, I like how you bring on the darkness here. The picture is sad to begin with, you know, of all the swords and the death. And, you know, as I tell Stephen, my mind is a complicated place. So, you know, I could spin this conversation in so many ways, so I won't. But as I said, this is a sad image. It matches the words and its state of mind. But as I said, that is like a punch to the kisser.
Pow, right in the kisser.
Pow, right in the kisser.
Right in the kisser.
That was cool. Great comment. Okay, so before I read mine, Stephen, how about you tell us what's happening at the Poetic Slice of Life?
Well, we have just a few shows left this week, and our next show isn't until Friday, and it is Sci Friday, and this time it's actually happening on Friday. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Novel.
Yeah, it is the next edition of our Star Trek Captains, and this time we are going with Captain Jean-Luc Picard from Next Generation. From him to write to, check them out. If you look at the title folder, you see what happened, but we're doing a show about him.
And make it so.
That's right, make it so. 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Friday. And then Saturday is Storyboards with Skye Darkholm. And the movie she's looking at this time is 1986's Flight of the Navigator. You can do character rights, quote rights, scene rights, movie rights. Come and geek out with Sky at 8 p.m. on Saturday night. That's all I got.
They both sound pretty awesome. All right. Well, thank you both very much. And if everyone will click on my link, I couldn't decide between two of Titus's quotes, so I went with number four, This is almost like the end of a rainbow, and number six, Misty Rain has washed a charcoal sky. And I combined them to a poem called When Eyes Can't See the Rainbow. And here we go. Bone white tints the fat shrouds that float and sponge moist dew. Then shower rain from blue skies stained with a dark charcoal hue. Pastel colors curve in neon light, bending pink on purple and blue, as red, orange, yellow, and green stripe the arc on the skyway too. But the sky is washed out in mist. Now it masks the landscape view, and it blocks my eyes from seeing all the paths that leads me to you and home.
Aw. That's pretty good, Deb. But the sky is washed out in mist. Yeah. Rocketeer, what'd you think?
Yeah, I like the reference to the rainbow with the red, orange, yellow, and blue. Reminds me that, I don't know how you learn the colors of the rainbow, but it was an acronym, Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet. So, anyway, you know, it's a beautiful sentiment. You know, all the colors and everything, the charcoal gray, you know, and then the rain, and then the rainbow references, and then you end it with, you know, it leads me to you. You know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, thoughts in there, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rex. And just on a side note, the where I learned the colors is that song. It's called "I Can Sing a Rainbow," and they sing it. You know, listen with your eyes and sing everything you see. Anyway, that's how I learned the colors.
Steven, still stay with us, Steven?
Yeah, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
I learned it Roy G. Biv too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought that this was a very, very cool, Deb. To me, I think I thought that these words bled depression, actually, and how depression can blur your vision from any path to the light. It is an excellent write.
Cool. Okay. Let's say so.
Well, yeah. I like the closing stanza because, for me, as I said, those lines say it all is to the heart in agony, longing, wishing, hoping to see what was there, as it is lost in a haze, perhaps a fog. Sometimes finding the color and the gray is the hardest thing to do, and the gray is louder than the color. End word.
Cool. Hello, sweet pea. Won't you be my girl? Sweet.
Hi. I love the line, bone white tints, the fat shrouds that float and sponge moist dew. And I also like the whole idea that it's always in the gray. Because the one thing about gray is I think that's where the most fun happens, where rules and light bend to help us find our way. Because it always fractures light and always fractures rules. Because that's what happens in the gray. It does help us bend to the light. It does help us see that not everything is so black and white. Well, I like the charcoal sky.
Thank you, Deb.
Thank you very much, sweet. And that's okay. Everybody got to comment. So, oh, and by the way, I put the Sing a Rainbow song on the chat wall. You guys can take a peek at it later. It's a cute little song that I actually would sing to my kids. Anyhow, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go grab the link that Titus sent because it's a special link. And I want to make sure that the special recipient of this special link is still here when it is played. So I would like you guys to go ahead and click on that, and I will go to the studio and push play.
Tattered up away.
Yes.
Don't leave.
Okay.
He's saying bye to Stephen and Kay. Good.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Bye, Stephen. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
And here it comes. They're recording.
Earth angels, sweet pea, sower of the angel seeds. Sacred are those who behold the values to pi to describe its symmetries, woven by the universal sun, given by a literati, the sun by which it grew. Exactness will endeavor to describe love, the sweet pea divinity of one expressed as an action, rather than a fraction. It is wholeheartedly at peace. Treasured are the many hearts, the stars above do listen in on their parts. Paradigms are linguistics as far as we are to fathom love as a backdrop. Sweet peas, I do refer to self-expressed, the love through many harp strings, offerings of kindness, whether large or small, considered often incognito. Wished for states that hope would be entrusted upon friendship, to draw veins and hearts to behold impartiality, in forwarding the softest voice, ramulous by definition, vibrant harmonies continue to relate it to be near. Offsets of emotion, as you can imagine how small was to be the embryo. Forensic studies at best stir the beautiful ambience of one's godly belief. To be heavenly, for what change can there be to recognize solely a waft? Hardly a whisper, yet her love can be felt, to behold what is to admonish, enchantment, upon what does fill each time as one blessed minute. Auspicious a woodland nymph, or a goddess for whom Diana was Egeria, not necessarily a seed, but was believed by others to put their loves in gently, as a sweet pea is to nurture a god, more so, an angelic uprising. Enclave her the oyster, altogether with the shell, the gracious magnitude, levering Venus. Sweet pea is queen, serves humblest with the soul relish sapience, with the gods to speak of leniency, love's distillations prevail. She supersedes all benefactions, as does the pearl. We are the choristers, each to delve the romantic tales in one's lifetime. The stars I do envisage equally as near and far, as was Mars to pertain each as a charming feature. Distance has no bounds to concern my love, and this is what I found.
Well, you know, before I comment on the poem itself, I have to wonder if he has any idea how big of a deal each of the recipients of this collection think this is. To take the time that you take, Titus, and to lift up the individual poets all over the poetry site with a gift that, you know, it's singular, it's priceless, it's beautiful, and it takes a really special person to sit down and put so much time into putting a smile or a tearful smile, because 9 times out of 10, at least when you write for the women, you make us cry, but in the best possible way. And okay, in the middle here, somewhere near the middle, sweet peas, I do refer to self-expressed, the love through many harp strings, offerings of kindness, whether large or small, considered often incognito. Well, I think that this poem is one of those very large acts of kindness that you do in the background, as I just mentioned. So often incognito works for you as well. And I like, where is that? Towards the, not quite the end, to be heavenly, for what change can there be? To recognize solely a waif, hardly a whisper, yet her love can be felt to behold what is to admonish enchantment upon what one does feel each time as one blessed minute. And to me, that's like the feeling that you would get from just spending just 1 minute with Mrs. Sweet Pea. She supersedes all benefactions, as does the pearl. I mean, so many beautiful parts. I could keep going on and on. Equally as near and far as was Mars to pertain each, a charming, this is another beautiful tribute. I love how you included Sweet's profile in the art, in the body of the poem. It fascinates me the kind of research that you do to make these. It's a brilliant piece, and I thank you. And I want to send you to tonight's Earth Angel, my sweet.
Did you say?
Are you muted, babe?
Oh.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me let her collect her.
No, I'm here, guys. I'm here. I'm sorry. It's taken me a minute. First off, I don't know what to say. I am overwhelmed. I am, as you said, I'm not one of the 9, I'm definitely among the 10 that is. Wow. Thank you, Titus, from the bottom of my heart. I think there's a lot in here that I don't even know how to answer to. I find it very funny that you use the word woodland nymph. One of my husband's favorite pet names for me is Imp, and that just cracks me up that you use woodland nymph and he calls me an imp. And he also calls me an angel, so it's imp or angel, and you compare me to the goddess Diana. And the other goddess in here who was a counselor and someone that gave to counsel to the second emperor of Rome. And, you know, you talk about friendships and legacies of love and being that friend that people can go to, and that I try to give my love and my concern for them and be a part of their lives as much as I can. I'm not so sure they all particularly like that. My advice or whatever I have to give, but I don't tend to keep my mouth shut, and I give what I can give out of love and out of friendship, but, you know, it does mean something to me, and I appreciate you seeing that in me. I don't necessarily think I have the softest voice, but... I do really trust the people that I call my friends. I can get pretty emotional, but I tend to say what I believe when I believe it. But I'm always, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm okay with that, too. I'm just overwhelmed with some of the things you said here because I would never say them about myself. Whether my friends are next to me or 1,000 miles away, I'm loyal and true to them. Even when I think they're being assholes or I'm being an asshole, I'm still loyal and true to them. I am amazed and thank you from the bottom of my heart. I certainly don't feel as if I deserve it, but I am grateful for it. So, thank you.
beautiful comment. And Raconteur, what did you think?
A beautiful tribute for a beautiful lady. I think you're lucky that he's a writer and he dedicated a poem to you, because if you were a bartender dedicating a drink to you, it would have a different feel.
This is true.
Beautiful piece, though. You know, and like you kind of hinted at, you know, things you wouldn't say about yourself. You know, often when we look at ourselves, we don't see what other people see. So you kind of need people to point it out to you.
This is true. Great comment. And Hatter.
Yeah, deep down, that's what we think is sweet pea. But I like this part, but was believed by others to put their love in gently as the sweet pea is to nurture a god, more so an angelic uprising in clay for the oyster. Altogether with shell, the gracious magnitude, levering Venus, sweet pea as queen. We knew that. Very well done, Titus.
Great comment. And amazing, Titus. Like I said in my comment that I wrote to you, you have this way of making the ladies cry in the most beautiful way. Just saying. Thank you for the poem and for allowing us to use your quotes from your poetry as prompts. And for the next one, if you guys click on the board, I'm going to read for Heavenly Angel. And the quote by Titus Llewellyn that she chose is, "I love you from the skin down to the bone." And her poem is titled Thoughts Expressed. And here we go. Sweeter than strawberry wine, this beginning we share, as I wrap your love around me like a blanket, a kaleidoscope of playful colors. You are the sun in my day, the twinkled stars at play next to my moon at night. From the ground up, we'll build our love, make each moment something to remember. Let life lay out its laundry, whether dirty or clean. I embrace unpredictable winds that blow their breeze. We'll face it together. I vow to be all you'll ever need. I love you from the skin down to the bone, until the day after forever. It's what the heaven above decreed. End poem. And on a side note, I think that because we tend to call Angel our romantic Hallmark queen, that I could have guessed that this would be the quote that she would choose, because I often talk about her poems reading like some sort of declaration of love, and the quote that she chose is definitely a declaration of love. So, you know, it works. And I like the part, "You are the sun in my day, the twinkled star at play next to the moon at night." I thought that was really beautiful. And I embrace unpredictable winds that blow their breeze. We'll face it together. I think that the romance oozes that declaration I mentioned a moment ago. It is prominent. She'll love no matter what, and it fits perfectly with the original quote of "I love you from the sun down to the bone." And I also like that you blended it in to your words as well. I think that you did a beautiful job. And as always, it was my honor to be your reader. And as always, it's already won an award before she got here. So congratulations on that. And appreciate it very much. Let me get you some comments. Let me go over to Raconteur, please.
Yeah, you know, these are the kind of words that you want someone that you're involved with to say to you. You know, it's just a beautiful sentiment. She talks about togetherness and things like that, and you know, an expression like from the skin to the bone. To me, I think of chicken. You know, my mind goes to food. And in the context that I'm sure from Titus original, he wasn't talking about fried chicken, and she certainly isn't either. But, you know, some people love chicken. Anyway, I thought it was beautiful. You know, I sometimes you hear things like this and you think, you know, oh, she's saying it to me, she's talking to me, and yeah, and you claim it as your own and things like that. It's absolutely stunning.
Awesome comment. And
yeah, what a great way to start the piece. Reminds me of one of what I consider, and a lot of people do, one of the greatest country songs ever written. It's smooth as Tennessee whiskey, sweeter than strawberry wine. Yeah, Hallmark, a Hallmark writer. Beautiful.
Awesome comment. And, Sweet, while I grab your poem, will you please comment and give me, I'm also, let me let AP in too. Hello,
okay.
AP. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hey,
I'm okay. How you doing? How you doing?
Yeah, good. We've got a plan, and that is getting out of hospital tomorrow. So, long last, but we have a plan.
That's fantastic. Can you wait and go after Sweet Pea? She was just about to read.
Of course.
I love Angel's poem. She always makes me feel like I want to be in love. She just has that way.
Sure does.
So.
Great comment.
All right.
I put your poem, wait a minute. I think it moved, so let me grab it again. And there it is. So show us what you got.
I use the same quote as Heavenly Angel. I love you from the skin down to my bones. Mine's a little different. The sun gifted the poppy with a kiss of yellow shades, but the blood of man poured in crimson from the battle blade. And the fields of poppy lay tarnished in shades of ruddy reds, among the tears of the wounded and the stench of the dead. I wandered past the village where the widows cried, past the captains and the politicians, taking winds for their sides. Stolen by the grave diggers, I just wanted us to reside together, to hold the hand of my lover, for death is just a state of mind. I clutched your poppy in my wedding gown, stained by scarlet sorrows. In the pageantry of defiance, I walked down the dirt path in your grave. In words written before the war, we exchanged our vows as the devils and the gods smiled and approved. As gods have risen from the 10 hand breaths of swords, I shall birth your legend and revenge the flesh they have torn. And the three-legged crow will eat the pain from my bones. The sun shall rise as we shall dance under the ancient moon, lovers again. And poem.
Yeah, I'd venture to say that was a bit different. oh, wow. Where do I want to go? I wandered past the village where the widows cried, past the captains and politicians taking winds for their sides, strolling by the grave diggers. I just wanted us to reside together, to hold the hand of my love for death. And just a state of mind, you know. I grave diggers. We've got grave diggers and widows that cry. So yes, it is the polar opposite of the poem that was inspired by the same quote a moment ago. Yet it's incredibly rich with images and powerful emotion as well. I clutch your poppy in my wedding gown, stained by scarlet sorrows in the pageantry of defiance. And then at the end stanza, as gods have risen from the ten-hand breaths of swords, I shall birth your legend and revenge the flesh they have torn. Like, that's a declaration too. But, again, very different than the declaration that we just heard. And that is why Angel's the Queen of Hallmark and my sweet is the Queen of Darkness, because you can bring beauty to darkness like no other, my dear. Yeah. Excellent poem. And I forgot to mention that I love the title, The Devils and Gods Approved. Oh, my. Pretty wicked.
Thank you.
Rack and Tour, what's your name?
I like the thoughts of, the love beyond life, beyond death. It's only a concept. However you wind up in that way, it's kind of like, and in the end, it's almost worth it, you know. You die with a smile on your face. Anyway.
Awesome comment.
I love it.
And Hatter.
Yeah, I love the storyline. I clutch your poppy in my wedding gown, stained by scarlet sorrows. And where does it say? I shall birth your legend and revenge the flesh they have torn. So this is a widow from the war. Shall rise as we shall dance under the ancient moon's lovers again. Yeah, she vows to avenge her death. Your death. Well done.
Thank you.
Great comment. And AP, before you read yours, will you comment first, please?
I love the words in association with that image. It's quite a different image from the one I grabbed, but I wandered past the village where the widows cried, the captains and politicians taking wins for their sides. There's this real sort of edge to the sadness. And, I really like how you've written it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And yours is on the board, so show us what you brought.
So I chose the quote. This is almost like the end of a rainbow, and this is like tarries, and it goes a bit like this. Navy a sheath swirled around her body's pirouette, surrounded in this, a cavern draped in snow. As below grand turtles their journey set by the intersection of stars and upon currents flow. These creatures dance on diamond shine, they wander the coastlines of our world, of shallows as here deepest adventures pine, overseas clear, and where the waters pearled. Sparking the fine ice as light tarries upon her pale face and on her cohort beside, as her golden desires reset as then carries through journeys into oceans, far as wide, any home.
Awesome. I like the visuals throughout. Surrounded in this, a cavern in snow, as below grand turtles, their journey set by the intersection of stars and upon currents flow. That there's gorgeousness there. They wander the coastlines of our world of shallows, as here deepest adventures pine. You're another one who has unmistakable phrasing, and there's a lot of it to speak of in this one. Sparking the fine ice as light tarries, and like what is that rainbow if not that those light hit by, or the ice pieces that are hit by the light? And I like the ending there, as her golden desires reset and then carries through journeys into oceans far and wide. You brought in so many elements, actually all the elements from the art, and you did it in three gorgeous stanzas, and it speaks perfectly to the Titus Llewellyn quote that you chose and to the art. And from the very first line, navy of sheep swirled around her body's pirouette. Just the gorgeous imagery in the lines are fantastic. Not that you didn't already know that I'm a fan, but this is a beautiful brevity. Let me get you some comments. You first, Hatter.
Yeah, the AP's always got some great lines. This is this whole poem included. I love the stanza. These creatures dance on diamonds shine. They wander the coastlines of our world of shadows, as here deepest adventures pine, our seas clear, and where the waters pearl. Beautiful. Almost like you're a poet, AP. Yeah.
I think.
You think.
Thank you.
Almost. Great comment, Hatter. And my sweet?
Well, I love the word pirouette to begin with. And I love when a poem kind of sways with movement. And this poem kind of moves like a slow, melodic high school prom night dance. It's just got that perfect little sway to it. And it's just my own personal thing when I hear just this perfect little movement of dance, and that's how I feel about your poem. It's got that dancing effect to me. It's just got that perfect sway.
Great comment. And a raconteur.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I picked up pirouette too because there's an elegance to that. It puts you in a certain place, and when you mention all the shiny things, in addition to that within the poem, and I'm grossly generalizing when I say shiny things, I'm not doing it justice, but you know, there's a certain beauty to that, because when you combine that with the dance, you get this vision of you know, dancing on the light, you know, and it's total to me. It's like, you know, Fantasia. You know, all that fantasy and the light and the dancing, all combined to this wonderful fantasy and beauty. It's a lovely piece.
Awesome comment. And I did let everybody. Okay, I did. And AP, I don't know how long you can stay, but I'm really glad you were able to call.
I can stay a few more minutes, Deb. What have you got?
Well, I was going to have Sweet Pea push her show, and then I was going to see if you would want to read one of the poems that I need readers for.
Sure.
So I don't know if Silk's going to be able to make it, and I thought you might read for him.
Sure, of course.
Okay, and my Sweet, tell us what's up on Thursday.
Well, I'm finally doing my SNL show, because last week was the special Amadeus' birthday show, all about dogs. And so SNL is Thursday night. And then the following week will be the comedy of Robin Williams. So that's what's coming up on Sweet Discussion.
Sounds like fun. Looking forward to it. And Hatter, you want to tell us about Wednesday before AP reads for Silk?
Yeah, Wednesday we're going to look back at the tragedies of the last year of what musical people, any group, anybody in bands or whatever, we lost in 2022. It'll be a tribute to everybody. I like doing that when we hear of their deaths. So sort of our last tribute to him. So Wednesday.
Awesome sauce. Okay, AP, I did put that on the board. If you can go ahead and read for us,
yes,
please.
I can indeed. This is to the prompt and quote by Titus. My poetry was written with your blood, number 7. This is Composing Cities in Her Singing Blood by Silk Black Rose. And it goes a little bit like this. My bones hunger for the weave of your sacred flesh, tongue flaying your ribs as I flick droplets of scarlet from your singing veins, lapping the dew of your mercurial songs. You taste like pomegranates and honey, like the infinite stars of the universe aligning to shed their light upon a waning moon, like twilight cast into the shadows of hell, where my fingertips skim the streams of your ether, plucking bits of fey melodies half heard through the veil of divinity's sorrow, sowing seeds of sable roses among the blasted stones of my requiem. Muse, your symphony drives me to blessed madness. Let me drink of your ichor once more, so I may compose marble temples to your celestial ecstasy, written in the blood of your heartbeats flowing from my serrated quill, fingers bleeding to paint your visions across the tapestries of these ivy pages. As I gaze upon your reflection, the bitter dregs of my eyes rain on the spires of your city, flavored with love and lament. For both we know the walls of your prison are paper thin, and soon you will slip away to be hunted again. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, I got to say that the contrast between the wording of Silk and your voice was pretty powerful. Tongue flaying your ribs as I flick droplets of scarlet from your singing veins. Holy cow. Your sympathy drives me to blessed madness. Let me drink of your ichor once more so I may compose marble temples to your celestial ecstasy. And what was that? As I gaze upon your reflection, the bitter dregs of my eyes rain upon the spires of your city, flavored with love and lament. Silk is a very distinct writer, and he can take, like Sweet, he can take blood and gore, and I write poetry with your blood. He definitely did that. Here, between the art he chose and the quote he chose, and where my fingertips skim the streams of your ether, plucking bits of fey melodies half heard. I mean, bravo! The wording is incredible. The story, the feel, excellent piece. And I'm really glad that with the stuff that's going on that you're forcing yourself to find time to read again, to write again, because like we've missed you around here. And this is an incredible piece. Thank you very, very much. And AP, you read, what you think?
Yeah, look, he does paint a beautiful set of almost gothic images. There's darkness, there's foreboding, but there's beauty within, and he's very, very good at balancing those emotions and those words, because it's not easy to do. I find it really tough, but he just seems to have a natural knack of putting these things together, and he does it very, very well.
Agreed. And thank you again for reading.
No, okay. And I am going to depart, Deb, because I've got somebody at my door here at the hospital, but that's all okay because I get out tomorrow. So, as I said, I can line up if they like, as long as I get the hell out of here.
Right.
So
all right, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will catch you tomorrow. Thanks again, Deb.
Take care, AP.
Thank you.
All right. My sweet, what did you think?
I think he bathes in the waters of darkness, but I drown in his words.
Totally, totally true. Yeah, but that was a pretty profound comment there. Rock and tour.
Yeah, it's like a bloodletting, and he took you know, writing the poem in blood literally at some points. It's really kind of stark and like AP said, gothic to me. You know, he's got a definite style that he writes in, and you know, you count on him to go in that direction and just hit a home run.
Fabulous comment. And Mr. Hatter?
Yeah, K-Man, one of my favorite writers on the site. You read the one after Muse, Your Symphony Drives Me to Blessed Madness, but the next one is just as good, written in the blood of your heartbeats, flowing from a serrated quill, fingers bleeding to paint your visions across the tapestries of these ivory pages. This is as good as anything I remember you writing, K-Man. Very good. Our resident vampire. He can take goth, dark stuff, and make it sexy. I did it here.
Yep, I agree. And, Rack, did I already ask you? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I thought so. Okay. Well, then, the next poem is by Miss Crystal Hope, my little sis, and I'm putting that on the board right now. And Sweet, do you want to read for Crystal and start with the quote that she chose, if you can?
I sure can. The quote that Crystal Hope chose was, "Misty rain has washed a charcoal sky." And this is Purple Petals and Paper Cranes by Crystal Hope. Dove feathers dance across rippling waves, crashing against the bubbles of a bathing sky. Violet clouds tremble under yellow lightning as ebony twigs float on wings of a butterfly. Pastel raindrops stream on crayon pinks, carrying the buried buckets of burnt ashes. Golden pine straw flushing down waterfalls as boulders wrinkle on her pecan lashes. Lavender petals paint splotches on coral rock, colored with pomegranates and mulberry. Frosty birds laying eggs cracked with beige peaks chirping with skulls hairy. Thistle branches braid along bushes as her hazel irises wander into a lilac eye. Teardrops crumble around the paper cranes, bleeding indigo ink into a charcoal sky. End poem.
Beautiful read, thank you. I love the title, Purple Petals and Paper Cranes. And it speaks perfectly of the art. And misty rain has washed a charcoal sky. It's the quote that she's taken in a different direction than I. Dove feathers dance across rippling waves, crashing against the bubbles of a bathing sky. I think that opening, those two lines are absolutely gorgeous. And in the second stanza, pastel raindrops stream on crayon cheeks, carrying the buried buckets of burnt ashes. Wow, that's pretty pretty powerful right there. And lavender petals paint splashes on coral rock colored with pomegranate and mulberry. Frosty birds laying eggs cracked with beige beaks, chirping with skulls hairy. I like that the baby birds are born and that we get to be part of them hatching. But I like that the way she used her colors, like in that first stanza, the last line, as ebony twigs float on wings of a butterfly. So even the butterfly is brought in. I just think that this came out really gorgeous from the colors of the branches, like the thistle branches. Even the pastel raindrops on cheeks. I mean, the images, the colors, the feel. And it bears repeating, but I really got a kick out of being here with the thought of the. I mean, you could almost picture the little beaks peeking, cracking while they're chirping to get out of the shells. And then, I mean, face it, baby birds are not usually critters are much cuter as babies than they are when they grow, but baby birds always look soaked and scruffy and with wiry hair, and she put with skulls hairy. So the image there was described perfectly. I thought that she brought both the art and the quote to life. And though it was awesome to hear Sweet read, I missed hearing your voice, Crystal. Thank you for the beautiful poem and for supporting the show. Appreciate it very much. And my Sweet, you read. What did you think?
Well, first off, I disagree. Baby hamsters are very ugly. But just have to say something. I love this. I think it's stunning language and mystical imagery takes the mind's eye into a magical land of color and fantasy. I thought this was just a really great poem of color and fun. And I really did love that. I liked buried buckets of burnt ashes. I thought the alliteration in here was great, too. Crystal just has a way of, you know, bringing all that color and all that brightness and all that happiness in, and I thought she did a really great job with that.
Awesome. Comment and Ragandor.
Yeah, it's a beautiful contrast when you talk about, you know, charcoal, there's no color in that, and she brings a lot of color out in her metaphors and her words. You know, I like that the other idea, too, of, you know, Tyson's original line when he mentions a charcoal sky, you think of storm clouds and things darkening the skies. She's got the rain in there and everything, and then, you know, she opens and closes with the same thought or a similar thought. So this is a very tight, well-written piece.
Great comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, Crystal has her own style of writing. And I had a conversation with you once, Deb, on the colors on the word bank. And you told me that I want members to be able to use colors and easily, and this is a perfect, it's hard to even tell that she's using a word bank of colors. Beautifully done. It's very good.
Great. Thanks, comment, Crystal. Heather. Yeah, I'm loving the fact that more and more, especially now that the word banks are optional, but that even if they weren't, if it wasn't down there at the bottom, the poets have become so accustomed to using the color in their poems to bring it to life that it makes me feel really good that after practically pushing it down everyone's throats for a little more than a year, that I was pleasantly surprised when I stopped providing the word links that I got so many messages. Where's my word bank? Where's my crayons? So I'm thrilled that we have so many poet colorers now on the site, and Crystal's definitely one of those. And speaking of word banks, on a side note real quick, Wayne is one of the super-duper use-them-all-if-you-can word bank writers, and he's not feeling well, and I hope everything works out and that you're back with us next week. And Raconteur, will you comment for Crystal, please?
Hi, sweets.
Rack? I lost Rack. Okay, now wait a minute. I'm just realizing that I have Sky on hold, and I think I think I just lost Silk. Hi, Sky. I'm really glad you're here.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. Wait a minute, let me see. Call back and read it again anyway. Sorry. I didn't realize that Silk was on hold, and I hate when that happens, and I didn't realize that you were both on hold for like 4 minutes, and I feel really bad. Everybody commented for Crystal, right? I'm losing myself here because I was just thinking that since I usually you call right at the beginning, so I was just moving your poem to next week just in case.
I fell asleep. I redid my apartment for 10 hours today with my friends, like repainted, rebuilt shelves, like we were just insane. And I had fallen, after I hung up with a poetic slice, I had laid down and I fell a little bit of a sleep still.
Well, sometimes you got to break down and do stuff like that. And at least, though you fell asleep, you woke back up, and I'm going to grab your poem and put it on the board so that you can... Oh, you're off on Tuesdays, but still, you're a tired woman, and you worked hard all day. Let me put your poem on the board.
I'm not off on Tuesday. I was off today. Today was a holiday, so I was off today. I work on Tuesday. Yeah, work every day except for Saturday. All right, I didn't get a chance to hear Crystal's, so I'm sorry about that. I chose the quote. Where is the quote? I chose the quote. We had scaled many years without our crystal ball, and I tied it in a weird way because there's like these little globes in this picture, which is an awesome picture, by the way. There's like these little globes, so I thought of it like lantern drops of light, like little lantern drops. Like there's no such thing as a lantern drop, but if you know there were drops of, like little raindrops of lanterns, they may be like little worlds in each one that you could go visit and like go into. Yeah, I don't know. That's where I was going with this. So this is called The Blacksmith in His Dragon Forge. Snapdragon centers the forged wicked door. Its viridescent shoots strung to lantern drops of lore. A round of nebulous of palm of in the palm of shifter's myth, ironwork gardens made of Gaia and Smith. End poem.
Okay, well, I think continue commenting. Let's say hi to Silk. Hey, Silk. Glad you made it.
Hello. Yeah.
Just got the comment on Sky here. So, Sky, yours is brevity, of course, but you packed so much into it, like the forged wicket door or the lantern drops of lore. And you know, even though lantern and drops, neither one of those are made up words, the lantern drops combined are made up. And Hatter always gets such a kick out of when you invent things. And I think that the lantern drops work perfectly with the image there. And then where's that sound? In the palm of shifter's myth. Now think about that, in the palm of shifter's myth. Like he could change it to anything and does. And I think, I'm trying to see if I could tell, what's it, 35 words-ish? and you made the image come to life in just those few words. And the blacksmith and his dragon forged. I love the brevity. I think the title's great. And I'm really glad you were able to call and read. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, just to make sure, Sky. Viridescent. I've never heard of that. What is that?
I'm sorry?
Viridescent? Yeah.
It's just like a green color. So even though I don't always opt in to Deb's word bank, I always try to put some color into her rights. So it's just speaking of the greenery, because if you don't have that picture, you can say snapdragon. It could also, it's a double play on the picture of the dragon in the myth. But if you think about snapdragon and you think about the garden idea and the vine and the greenery of that kind of garden and Gaia, yeah. Mother of Earth, you know, right? So you're mixing Gaia, the mother of Earth, and then a smith, like the blacksmith, someone who's kind of building, you know, like, so it's just kind of like mixing the two. I'm sorry. I'm like, never call again after I fall asleep.
No, I appreciate it.
Right? Yeah. So
Yeah.
Rock and Tour, what did you think?
I think he dropped.
Oh, he dropped. Yeah, I did know that. Okay. Silk, did you catch the brevity? Can you comment?
Yeah, I thought it was very lovely, and I like the lantern drops as well. That sparks like such like a lovely imagery, and also the roundel of nebulas. I could just see like the like a swirling like clump of nebulas there with that. And the palm shifter's myth. It was just beautiful images all the way through, and I really enjoyed it. It was a great brevity.
Thank you so much.
Awesome comment. And Sky, Stephen pushed your show on Saturday for you, so if you do need to hang up, I understand. Otherwise, we have Silk and two recordings. Stay as long as you would like. And Silk, when you get a chance, make sure you listen later, because one of the first things I said, AP was your reader, and I was saying about how there was such a drastic difference in your wording and his voice, and now you're about to prove it by reading for us. So show us what you got.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. This, I'll make sure I put them on a calling, because I know I haven't been calling very much at all in the past year and a half. But okay, this is I love the quote and the images. This one, especially the quote about my poetry is written in your blood. It kind of just made me think about muses, and I always love reading someone else's poetry where they write about their muse or something, and it's always something I kind of like to try to write about too. This one's called Composing Cities and Her Singing Blood. My bones hunger for the weave of your sacred flesh, tongue flaying your ribs as I flick droplets of scarlet from the sink from your singing veins, lapping the dew of your mercurial songs. You taste like pomegranates and honey, like the infinite stars of the universe aligning to shed their light upon a waning moon, like twilight cast into the shadows of hell, where my fingertips skim the streams of your ether, plucking bits of fey melodies half heard through the veil of divinity sorrow, sowing seeds of sable roses among the blasted stones of my requiem. Muse, your symphony drives me to blessed madness. Let me drink of your ichor once more, so I may compose marble temples to your celestial ecstasy. Written in the blood of your heartbeats, flowing from my serrated quill, fingers bleeding to paint your visions across the tapestries of these ivory pages. As I gaze upon your reflection, the bitter dregs of my eyes rain upon the spires of your city, flavored with love and lament. For we know, the walls of your prison are paper thin, and soon you will slip away to be hunted again. Thank you.
Wow. You know, we were saying how you have this way of bringing the darkness to light, but in a beautiful way, and the way you just read that, man, I'm trying to think of some of the things I said earlier. Like, when you got to some of the lines that I quoted, I was like, wow. Like, where my fingertips skim the stream of your ether, plucking bits of fey melodies, hail, hurt, half hurt, I can't even talk, through the divinity's sorrow. And I gaze upon your reflection, the bitter dregs of my eyes rain upon the spires of your city, flavored with love and lament. And I think the other thing was back towards the beginning. Yes, tongue flaying your ribs as I flick droplets of scarlet from your singing veins. I mean, wow, wow, wow. Between the quote that you choose, which you totally brought that to life, and then the art that you chose, which goes perfectly with it as well, it's just like my bones hunger for the weave of your sacred flesh. It's just, you have a way with words that, you know, it's unmistakable, that we've missed very much, and that I really, really hope that you get to hear, because there were more people here when AP read it for you, and you got some great comments. And it's just very impressive, start to finish. I saved it on my wow list, as a matter of fact, and I'm really, really glad you're back. And we've definitely, definitely missed your voice, and I believe that was mentioned earlier in the comments as well. And another thing that was pretty profound was the tones in AP's voice reading the descriptions that you put into your poem. It was really cool, and then they get to hear you read too. It was perfect. And the only reason I had put it on was because I was getting low, and I didn't want it to be read in a woman's voice. And sometimes Hatter has a trouble with his eyes, so I wanted to grab AP while he was here. I'm really glad you called though. Amazing share.
Yeah, I meant to call a little earlier. I get sidetracked. I'm trying to learn programming Python, and I start working on that, and I get stuck, and I start trying to figure it out, and I look up, and it's like 4 hours later. So.
No, I can understand, and I did look. There wasn't a notation, and like I said, I wanted to grab a male voice while one was available. Again, I'm glad. Hey, we got to hear it twice, so twice is nice. Hatter,
thank you,
what'd you think?
Yeah,
K-Man, I'll basically repeat some of the stuff I said earlier. First, the stanza that stands out to me was written in the blood of your heartbeats flowing from my serrated quill, fingers bleeding to paint your visions across the tapestries of these ivory pages. This is good as anything I remember you writing, K-Man. This is very good. And you, two different poems, the same words, but it totally different. You read it and AP reading. Both look very good. But you can make, like I said, you can make dark stuff sexy. That's what you do.
I was trying to go for more dark and pretty on this one, but yeah. Yeah, thank you, Hatter.
Yeah.
He definitely
good to, good
said
to hear you, man.
Okay, so we have two left, and they're both recordings. But before we do those, I wanted to mention next week's show. Next week, The artist is Leonid Afremov, and he uses color brilliantly, but like splotched on. And I have everything from night scenes, day scenes, flowers, animals, landscapes, a sailboat, racehorses. I mean, he just tackles almost any topic and brings it to life in full color. I think it's hard to choose just one to pick from because they're so vivid and bold and filled with color. And along with the amazing art, we have quotes to choose from, 10 of them, by none other than Raconteur. So check out the quotes, pick something that inspires you, and grab some art. Join me again next week, and we will see what kind of amazing poetry Wurzer Raconteur can inspire in us. Now, in the meantime, we have the poem by Phil the Poet and then the poem by Gerald Green. So if you guys click on Phil the Poet, I shall push his recording. Hatter, tell me when you see it.
Already got it right here.
All right. I'll push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Music of the Deep Green Sea. From the depths of a thousand fathoms comes a sound, melodious to the ear of a sailor longing to be homeward bound. A beautiful tune emerges like bubbles of melancholy. Soon the siren captures the youth in all his folly. Down to the watery grave, sweet organ music is played, accompanied by a sultry velvet voice that captures a prey. In the murky aquamarine, the acoustics begin to vibrate. The song of a dying swan brought our young hero to his fate. The lamentable tone of the sperm whale haunts the depth, singing how the oceans were formed when mermaids wept. Great whites swim in circles to the rhythm of a crimson beat. The creatures of the sea listen to the maiden gently weep. An inner cave of coral reef patterns flows a soothing tune, a sound that is as sweet as a summer trip in an air balloon. The airy percussion of an octopus 8-piece band wakes a drunken sailor who lies bewildered on the sand. End poem.
Awesome. Down to the watery graves. Sweet organ music is played, accompanied by a sultry velvet voice that captures her prey. In a murky aquamarine, the acoustics begin to vibrate. The song of a dying swan brought to our young hero to his fate. And I don't... Okay, he wrote to Titus Llewellyn words 3. Coat ourselves with an illusion that astonishes a bomb that would self-ignite on impact. I thought he did great. And in the closing stanza, and in a cave of coral reef patterns flows a soothing tune, a sound that is as sweet as a summer trip in an air balloon. And there is just something that seems so perfectly like the air, the wind, floating along in an air balloon. I don't think I could because I couldn't look down. The heights would get to me, but it does sound so incredibly beautiful. And his closing line there, wakes our drunken sailor who lies bewildered on the sand. Phil's another one of those poets. It doesn't matter what I throw at him. He can always come up with something. And he went a little dark in this one, too. So I thought, Music of the Deep Green Sea. I love the title. As usual, great recording. I always love listening to you read. And I very much appreciate your support of the show. I think you did a great job with the art and with Titus's quote. Thank you very much. Silk, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought this had an elegance to it, and yeah, it was a little dark, but also it's also lovely too, because I always love things about sirens and mermaids too. That always gets me. And also like the pirates and on the sea here. I liked how he rhymed the flow of the story. I liked how he was talking about the lamentable tone of the sorrow haunts the depth. Seeing how the oceans were formed when mermaids wept. And then how I described the their sounds coming up from the depths of the sea, and luring the young sailor to his death, and the whole thing. And it was kind of like a dark whimsy almost, if you can combine those two concepts, which I really enjoyed. Well, I dug it.
Baptist Comet and Hatter.
Yeah, that the lines. K-Man just read. That's one that stood out for me also. The creatures of the sea listened to the maiden gently weep. Phil needs, he the way he reads his own work, it's very, what's the word? Not old school, but the It's more reading ballads. He does such a good job the way he writes and reads the stuff. Very good.
Awesome comment. And I was trying to find the art that he wrote to so that you guys can see it. And, of course, when you're trying to do something really quickly, you can't find it. I know what I'll do. I will just come over here, and I will grab it again. There we go. And I am putting it on the bottom of his poem now. And there it is. So if you just click refresh, I've added it to my comment, and you can see that the incredible piece that I didn't know where he might take it, but as usual, he did a stellar job with it. And, okay, now let me come over here. If you guys will go ahead and click on Gerald Green, I will push his recording as well. And Hatter, just yell when you see it.
I got it.
Okay,
got it.
Here we go. Right.
Where Power Leads, written and read by Gerald Green. She views her ivory house, a city on a hill, above the dark and humble hovels where the unblessed make their homes. Her life represents supremacy of educated thought and taste, where ravens never roost. Her dedicated husband worships at their altar on the hill, adding jewels, art, and furnishings to dazzle lesser eyes, while seldom touching other lives within its tailored walls and golden corridors. Children in this well-known family detest what life's become, not knowing why or feeling happiness reserved for those who serve, but only vanity in mirrored walk-in closets against the hoard where ravens roost. Their lives have morphed into a daily ceremony reserved for silver spoons that tarnish and are bent by freedom's crimson waves that can't be tolerated on their hill. The peacock fights for preservation, dominating grounds and fence plantation of these anxious and distraught who have no salt, where ravens aren't allowed to roost. End poem.
Awesome. Let's see, where do I want to go? The second stanza. Her dedicated husband worships at their altar on the hill, adding jewels, art, and furnishings to dazzle lesser eyes, while seldom touching other lies within its tailored walls and golden corridors, which, if you look at the art, there's like this amazing castle-esque building in the back, and they're soaring to it on a beautiful bird. Their lies have morphed into a daily ceremony reserved for silver spoons that tarnish and are bent by freedom's crimson ways that can't be tolerated on their hill. The peacock fights for preservation, dominating grounds. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And the story there that totally brings the art to life. And I'm looking, I don't see the excuse me, I don't see the quote listed, but irregardless, the storyline, the images, the dedicated love of that husband, and the glorious life that he's set before her as she lands on this flight. I mean, it's just outstanding. And who have no salt where ravens aren't allowed to roost. It's just from start to finish a very beautiful piece, and the first line being, she views her ivory house, a city on the hill, and if you could see it, it really is monstrous, like a city. Gorgeous blue skies and the moon and birds flying around. Man, imagine somebody laying all of that at your feet. Beautiful work, Gerald, and a great recording as always. Appreciate it very much. Hatter, what do you think?
You know, I got to say, I think there's an inner message in here, the last part of it. Children in this well-known family detest what life's become, not knowing why or feeling happiness reserved for those who serve, but only vanity and mirrored walk-in closets against the horde where ravens roost. It's almost like the me generation. You don't know what you got until it's gone, type of thing. Be careful what you wish for.
Great comment, Hatter.
Yeah.
And Silk, you get the last poetic quote of the night.
Woohoo. I really enjoyed this. It kind of had a slight sarcastic air in a way, I thought. Maybe just a little touch of that, but I mean, he wrote it real beautifully starting out. It was kind of like he was going from their point of view, like, oh, they have it so well made, but then he's getting down here kind of like with the children, this well-known family detests what life's become. And then dropping down in here, it was kind of like he was saying, oh, they have all these beautiful, rich things, but their lives are hollow and empty. And where's that other line? They had that line here about by not knowing why or feeling happiness reserved for those who serve. Like the, kind of saying the people that are their servants are probably more happy than they are. And I thought the whole thing just really spoke to that, like how money can't really buy all happiness and how things can fade. And down here, I liked how he also said in the last one, the peacocks fight for preservation, dominating grounds and fence, plantation, these anxious and distraught who have no salt or ravens aren't allowed to roost. And I think I like that, what he did with the ravens too, because he worked that all through the poem. And to me, it was kind of like just saying, like, he has this wonderful thing up there, but no one can really enjoy it. And I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic comment. Appreciate that. And I just finished double-checking. Yes, we did get them all covered. So I want to take a moment to say, again, thank you to Titus Llewellyn for the amazing pieces of poetry that we use to inspire us for our poems tonight. And I want to thank the board members, my big brother Hatter and Sweet and AP. I so love doing these shows with you guys. And a shout out to the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation for sponsoring us. And I would like to thank Kay and Stephen and Angel and Sky and Bill and Silk and Crystal and Gerald and Raconteur. Amazing poems, as always. You guys bring it week after week, and you always impress. And it's a total honor to get to hang out with you and hear you read and read your rights and completely a pleasure. And again, our next show is not till Wednesday, when Hatter shares with us some of the sad losses in the music world over the year of 2022 and in the first several days of this year already. And again, I put the link for next week when we're featuring quotes by Raconteur and a new artist with some beautiful art. So click on and choose your favorite piece before somebody else grabs it. And on that note, Wayne, we missed you. Hope everything goes well tomorrow. Feel better. And I think what we'll do now is, since we opened the show with one of Titus's favorite songs, we didn't get to hear our famous Hatter words brought to light by the singer and music of Shout Even Shy. So without further ado, we are going to close out with the words you cannot say, written by Jay Hatter. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And respect.
Thank you, Deb.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I trying to run away, I'm watching you.
such a little ditty.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you very much. Glad you called, Silk. Night Hatter. Love and respect, everyone.
See you, K-Man.